your house. We're grateful to you for seeing us through January. And here we are, the second Sunday in February. We're grateful because step by step, 2012 is disappearing. We're grateful because we are not disappearing with this year. We thank you for your sustaining grace, for your power that keeps us day in, day out. We pray, Lord God, that you will accept our thanks for the bread of life that you feed us with in this church. We cannot complain that we don't get good food in this place. And for that, we'll give you the praise. We thank you because we are not tired of being told the truth. We ask you that the truth that we hear this morning will mix with faith in our hearts and transform our lives and make us better children of God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Everybody said amen. Amen. This week, Tuesday, that's on the 14th of this month, lovers everywhere, both full-time lovers and part-time lovers, legal and illegal lovers, let the church say amen. Amen. We'll be celebrating what is popularly referred to as Valentine's Day. I grew up in the village. One of the advantages of growing up in the village is that what the city people knew, we didn't know it. Was when I left the village and went to the city to go to high school, and I was in the boarding school, that the boys from the city were calling the girls, "You're my Valentine." And I saw a boy write a note to a girl in our class, that will you be my Valentine? I didn't even know how to pronounce Valentine. I thought it was Valentine. He said, "What do you mean you want to turn her into Valentine? How can she be your Valentine? What is Valentine?" So they started making fun of me that I was from the village. But I'm proud of being from the village because there are some qualities that we have that those of you from the city don't have. Let all the people from the village say amen. Amen. Oh, I got many villagers here this morning. So I thought it would be appropriate this morning to pause and speak to you about love and about marriage. My text this morning is one that I have used here many, 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 many times, and which I will use again because it's the foundation for everything about love and marriage. The Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, there's not much the righteous can do. You know, a couple of years ago in Chicago, there was a neighborhood, very beautiful neighborhood. The roads began to sink. The houses began to crack. And their foundations began to sink. So the city of Chicago called inspectors to go and find out why this development area is having problems. And they discovered that those who developed the place built it in an area that they used to dump garbage. And as the garbage settled, everything on it settled. Many so-called lovers today have built their love and their relationship on garbage. Consequently, we see cracks. Consequently, it's sinking all around. And what is so troubling is that it's a problem that is not limited to the world alone. People we respect in Christendom, people we look up to, have become bad examples. And the reason is because if the foundation is destroyed, then there is not much you can do. That's why I struggled to use this passage, because I've used it before. But the Bible is new all the time. So I'm going to take you back to the foundation. And hopefully you will see things the way they are supposed to be. Let me say this at the beginning of this sermon, that I'm going to be direct. I'm going to be clear. I'm going to call a spade, and not a well-known agricultural implement. So I might disturb some of you by the truth that you will hear. But I realize there is no other way for you to be free except by the truth. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. As a matter of fact, there's really nothing you can do against the truth. You are either for the truth or you are destroying yourself. So this morning, come along with me to the beginning of the Bible as we read the very first place and the very first time where love and marriage was first mentioned. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're reading from. Verse 18 through verse 25. Before you buy that chocolate on Tuesday, before you order for the teddy bear, before you buy that rose, let's look at what the Bible has to say to you. Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to all fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. The title of my message is rather very strange, but it is one that I have gleaned from the passage that we just read. I've titled this, It Is Not Good. It is not good. In this passage of scripture, I will bring out to you several things that are not good for love and marriage. In fact, I'm taking those three words of my title, It Is Not Good, from the passage of scripture itself. Because the words of the Lord in verse 18 were, the Lord said, it is not good. So I want to lift that out of the passage and give you several things that are not good. You know, many times when we talk about marriage, we leave the singles out. And the singles are saying, why did I go to church today? This is only for married people. Whatever your category is this morning, whether you are single or whether you're married, God will have a word for you. So I want us to just relax and let God speak to you. Since you are single before you get married, we'll begin with the singles. And then we'll roll it on step by step to the married. And every point I give you this morning will start with, it is not good. And from these, you will see what is not good for you as singles. And you will see what is not good for you as married. If you are to have a really blessed Valentine's Day, must avoid all of these, it is not good. You ready? Number one, it is not good to think about marriage when you don't have a job. Turn to somebody and say, I love this bishop. Love this bishop. It is not good. I'm telling you. It is not good to start thinking about marriage when you don't have a job. Did you know it wasn't the day he made Adam that he planned marriage for him? Adam had a job. He had a field to take care of. He had animals in his pasture. He wasn't one of those that will wake up in the morning only to watch Good Morning America. And after that, watch, what is this guy? Jerry Springer. And after Jerry Springer, watch All My Children. And after Oprah Winfrey in the afternoon, hold on, I'm coming to that one. And that's all he does day in, day out. And he calls his friends to help him braid his hair at 6 p.m. And then at 7, the wife comes back from work. You are not qualified to be married. It is not every father that is a husband. And in our community, we have a lot of fathers, but very few husbands. You may be a horse, but there's no band around your life. Turn to somebody and tell them, go get a job first. Look, ladies, don't listen to them when they come to you speaking whatever they speak. Ask them, please, where do you work? If he doesn't have a place he works, just... Thank you. I will preach. I told you I will be plain. I will be plain. A lot of irresponsible men. They're just looking for somebody to lay around with. Call them baby, 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 baby. Who is your baby? Lazy man. You don't have a right. To a wife until you are a responsible man. There are too many irresponsible men out there who want to lay claim on a woman that they don't even have the means to take care of. They raise children and they give the children to the government to take care of. That's not the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. It is not good to get married when you don't have a job. The other thing is, it is not good to get married until you are matured enough to get married. I see a lot of people thinking that marriage is something they can rush into at any age. And they destroy it because of their immaturity. Now, those of you who have been married for some years, you will agree with me. There were some things you did in those early years that you wouldn't do now. Because now you've grown, you've matured. You look at yourself and say, oh, you mean I did all that? I was so immature. But there are people who are doubly immature. And they go into marriage. And when they come to us for counseling, you just look at them and say, you should still be putting on diapers. Not having a woman that you call your wife. Pass the employment test, but also pass the maturity test. If you don't, your love will turn sour and your marriage will collapse. Take it from me. I'm speaking to you by the word of God this morning. This is Bible. Everything you hear from me today will be Bible. So number one, don't do it until you bring good paycheck home. You see, the ladies are saying that's right. You better believe it. And don't do it either if you are not mature. If every little thing makes you cry. And you say, mommy, 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 daddy, daddy. And you're rushing to mommy and rushing to daddy. You are not ready yet. Number three, it is not good. Haven't said what I said, now I can say this. It is not good to be alone. Do you know that one of the reasons God instituted marriage is to cure the problem of loneliness? That's the truth. Go ask ladies, go ask men who are alone. One of the greatest problems that they face is loneliness. And God knew that and said, it is not good. You know what amazed me as I prepared for this message is that a chapter before, God looked at Adam and he looked at every other thing that he made and he said, behold, it is good. Behold, it is very good. And the first time he ever said it is not good was when he looked at the singleness of Adam. He looked at Mr. and Mrs. Quarrel playing together. He looked at Mr. and Mrs. Kangaroo having a date. He looked at Mr. and Mrs. Tiger playing together. And God said, wait a minute. Every other creature has somebody to play with. But the one that is the crown of all creation has nobody to play with. This is not good. I've got to rectify this problem. So I want to say to you this morning by the word of the Lord, it is not good. In fact, in the original language, when it says it is not good for a man to be alone, what it says in the original Hebrew is that aloneness is not good. God wants you to be complete. And I believe God will make you to be complete. Do you know it's possible to be in the midst of hundreds of people and still be very lonely? It's possible to be in the midst of a church where they love you and care for you, in an office where there is fellowship and communion, in a family where there is love and communion, and yet you are lonely among them. I pray for all of you singles in this church that the Lord will rectify the problem for you in the name of Jesus. Having said that, I go to the next point because I'm going to break this line up online. Now that I've said it is not good to be alone, I need to balance that with the next statement. Before you run off and do something about it. Because if you want to be coupled, you can be easily coupled before 7 o'clock tonight. That's the truth. Before you run off to do something about that, there is a second thing, there's another thing I want to say to you that is not good. And that is this. It is not good to solve the loneliness problem without the involvement of God. See, this is where we miss it. I'm lonely. I need a man beside me. I need a woman beside me. I need a hobby. And you know what they do? They run off. And they pick a madman. They run off. And they pick a Jezebel. They leave God aside. And they choose whoever they want. It is not good because of the problem of loneliness to run off without checking with God. You see, I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. You all know the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. And do what? Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, including marital ways, acknowledge him. This is what our children don't get. All they say about prayer. Will God bring a man to you? Will God bring a woman to you? Hey, pray. Some of us who are older, we wish we prayed. And we are saying the pits that we fell into, that you don't fall into it. You fall into love. You don't fall into prayer. You will carry trouble. One brother in our church, he just carried somebody and carried him to the fellowship. I said, where did you get this one from? He said, it's none of your problem. I'm lonely and I need a wife. And so you ran off and just say, I ran off. And I've brought her here. If you want to drive me from the fellowship, you could drive me away. So no, we're not going to drive you away. After 3 months, he came. He lost weight. What happened? Hey, he said, my wife. You see, after we finished praying to go to bed, my wife would just do her leg like this and hang her right foot on the wall. When she hangs her right foot on the wall like that, she's gone. She said the legs get so big you can't even pull it down. He has got to a meeting. That's when you leave God aside. Another one ran. I can tell you stories all. Another one ran like that and got a wife. And we all belong to a church where you always tidy your head to go to service. So nobody saw anybody's head. And he just saw this girl. And you know how you want to marry somebody and everybody is saying to you, don't do it. You know my principle in life, when I want to do something and people are telling me don't do it, I will pause and think a little bit. Even if they are wrong. The fact that they are telling me don't do it, I want to examine that don't do it. But there are some people, they know more than their teachers. They know more than the people that love them. They know more than the people that care for them. So he just went in the church and saw somebody and picked her and married her. Then we discovered that he started losing weight. He wasn't eating. He wasn't happy. He was depressed all the time. And we went to him and said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I can't tell you." He said, "I can't tell you. Just pray for me. Just pray for me." So we pray. We pray fire. We pray water. We pray everything. Nothing happened. There are some problems you will get yourself to in marriage that prayer will not even solve. Because God will tell you, "Where was I before you got into this? You thought you were smart. Now you've got him. You've got her." So it went on and on and on till some of us got bold. And we called him. We said, "We will kill you if you don't tell us what your problem is. Why should you be dying in our presence? Let's then just kill you." We were kidding with him. And then he said, "I can't tell it." "See, tell us." And then finally he broke down and cried. And then he opened up and he said, "My wife has two horns on her head." He said, "But it was all covered up. And she has told me that the day I say it will be the day I will die." Well, we told him, "You will not die, but you will live. Rather, she is the one that will disappear." By the time he got home that day, the woman was gone. These are the things that happen to you that fall in love with somebody you meet on that 22nd Street. Is there a 22nd Street? I'm sure there should be one. Oh, 42nd. I removed 20 from it. Sorry. Just find a total stranger. Say, "I'm in love with this one." And you bring the total stranger to us. And we say, "Where did you get it from?" We can't even put him there. We have to use it. "Where did you get it from?" I want to plead with you. It is not good. Please. It is not good to fall in love without checking with your daddy. See, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what I will become tomorrow. He knows what the future will hold. Don't let beauty deceive you. Don't let education and money deceive you. Go and check with God. "I would rather marry a man that brings very little home and have peace at home than marry a man that is a multimillionaire and there is no peace in the house." It is not good. It is not good because you are lonely to run off and find someone else that you think is lonely and say, "Yeah, I want them." As a matter of fact, let me say this to you. It is not good to think that God must give you someone from your country. God must give you someone from your village. God must give you someone from your profession. God must give you someone that is of the same skin color with you. That God is the God of all flesh. I thank God for the wife I married. If I were not married to her, I would have easily married a white woman, a Jamaican, a Ghanaian. It doesn't matter where you come from. As long as you are made by God and you are made for me and I'm made for you, I will not put all these specifications before God. God's will comes first. Can I hear an amen to that? It is not good to allow matchmakers to take the place of God in your choice. It is not good. It is not good to think that the fact that a person is a Christian, that they will automatically fit the definition of a wife or a husband. "Oh, but he's a Christian now, but she's a Christian now." No. Does God approve of it? So let God determine who you marry. Only God knows who will be a helper to you. And only God knows who will ultimately hurt you. So God said, it is not good. I will make. And I want to say to those of you who think time is going, there's nobody around, nobody around. No, no, no. If there's nobody around, God will make somebody for you. You know how people walk in the flesh, they look around fresh anointing. Hey, there's nobody here. And then they become traveling evangelists. They go around churches. Giraffe ministry. God say, relax. Turn to somebody and tell them, please relax. Just relax now. Relax. Relax. If there is none available here, God will make it for you. I'm telling you the truth. God will make one for you. If God has to create one just for you to get married, he will do it for you. Oh, those of you who are parents, relax about your children. Relax about your sons, about your daughters. They will get married. Believe me, we will eat their cake, whether the devil likes it or not. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, there's nobody around here. No. If there's nobody around here, God will do what? Make. Hey. He's the creator. He said, I will make one for you. You're looking for love? Don't look for it in the wrong places. Look for it at the throne of grace. You say, time is going, time is going, time is going. God's time is the best. If you marry now and it collapses 2 years, what will you do? Why don't you wait for 2 years, another 2 years more, so it can last forever and ever and ever and ever? God is building you up. He's maturing you. By the time you get ready to say, I do, you are ready to do. You say, but men are troubling me. Put fake ring in your finger if they are troubling you. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to all fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. And for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Isn't that beautiful? In all creature there was not found an help meet for him. Let me say this to you then. It is not good to think that animals and even those of the same sex with you will satisfy your loneliness. Isn't it incredible that people sleep with animals? I used to have a lady that was in my church several years ago in the Bronx, and she worked for some sick people in Manhattan. And this man will bring in chicken to sleep with. And they just be hearing chicken crying in the middle of the night. And they will go into the room and they will see the man sleeping with a chicken. That's not a helpmate. Chicken can never help you. Some people go and buy big dogs. It's not everybody walking a big dog. It may be his big husband or his big wife. I'm even confused now when you come to his or hers. There's no animal that will be a helpmate for you. People of the same sex will not be of the same help for you. They cannot help you. I cannot imagine a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman. And I can tell you, a time is going to come in this country when it will be an acceptable life. Somebody said it's even acceptable already. No, it used to be in those days where I grew up. Come. Where I grew up, You have a friend, you held hands like this. Do you remember those good old days where you and your friend are going for a walk on the street and you are doing like this? Isn't that true? Now, you do that today. They will ask you, who is the wife, who is the husband out of the two of you? Things are becoming worse and worse and worse. There's a park near my house that I go to pray. And one time I went there to pray, I was reminding my wife of this last week. And we just finished a revival, a very great 3-day revival, fasting and praying for 7 days. And I just went to the park that Monday morning to just give God the praise for what he did. And there came this man as I was walking. A man of God. This American are trouble. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Here was I walking in the park praying, saying, Lord, I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for the power of God that came down. And here came this man. And he just came by my side. And he did like this. Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt like killing somebody? I looked at him and said, hello. What's going on here? Then I looked, then he did like this. Hello. Ha! I said, devil. So I changed it to prayer. I said, every spirit of lust, every spirit of homosexuality, every spirit of lesbianism, I take authority over you. I said, fire, 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 fire. Oh, the man said, okay, 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 sorry, okay. I stand before you, I lie not. Why pick on me? Me? What do I have that looks like? Nonsense. Turn to somebody and tell them nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But you see, they go there to pick men up. And men go there to be picked up. Unfortunately, men of my color also, you know, who don't go to work on Monday morning will go there to be picked up. But he doesn't know he picked fire that morning. It is not good to think that animals and even those of same sex with you will satisfy your loneliness. They won't. They will not. The next one, it is not good. I want you to listen to this very well. I don't want any one of you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. But I have to say it. Because it's the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. And this is not supposed to put any one of you down. Don't get me wrong. But rather, this is supposed to fire you up to pray. That you will not be less than what God created you to be. Are you ready? It is not good in marriage. And it does not help love in marriage. When a helper becomes the carrier of the load. Did you hear what I said? I'll say it again. It doesn't help your love and your marriage when a helper becomes the carrier of the load. It doesn't help love. And for you men who are here, for you Adams who are here, I pray for you that the head that God has made you, you will be head in every area. Your wife is just a helper. When your wife becomes the one that pays the bills, when your wife becomes the one that pays the mortgage, when your wife becomes the one that pays the school fees, when your wife becomes the one that carries the financial responsibilities in the house, it can affect love in the family. And for many men who have been reduced to having the helper become the carrier of the load, it's not something you like yourself. You hate it. Then you've got to do something about it. If you have to go and lock yourself up for 21 days and say, God, make me the head and not the tail. Pray yourself out of this. And if it is demons and devils that are out to reduce you to zero level, deliver yourself by fire, by force. It never happens. I'm sure you've seen pictures in Africa where they carry load on the head. When we want to carry that load in the market, all right, usually it's too heavy for you to carry yourself. So what do? You call a helper. You say, come and help me carry this load and lift it up for my head. Isn't that what we did in the village? It never happens that the one that you call to carry you, when they carry the load to the head, then you push it on their own head. What they do is they help you carry the load. It's your load. So you carry it yourself. They help you carry it, they put it on. The best they can do is maybe remove one yam, maybe remove two yams and help you carry it if it's too heavy. But the original load is your own. Ah, the load that belongs to you, nobody will carry it for you. And if there be anything that is going on demonically that is making you the head to become the tail, may the Lord deliver you in 2012. May the Lord catapult you to the place where he made Adam to be. The place where he has proved you as a man that you will carry the responsibility in the house. Do you know originally men were the ones to be that are supposed to be the breadwinners? Ah, you will be a breadwinner. You will not be a bread eater. In the name of Jesus. This thing I'm talking about destroys love. If your wife is really not conquered by the Spirit of God, a time will come when she will revolt. And I remember a woman in this church told her husband and said, "You are not a man." And the husband came to me crying. He cried. I said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "My wife said I'm not a man. Because she's the one bringing the money in." I said, "Go do something about it." I said, "It's your right. To do." I said, "Take what she said." I said, "Don't fight her for it. She got too angry. That's why she said what she said." I said, "Take that to God. I said, God, they said I'm not a man, but you created me as a man. Make me a man." Unfortunately, the marriage broke up. Nothing has destroyed love and marriage like what I just talked about. So all day yesterday, I was praying for all the Adams in this church that circumstances of life will not change your position. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. The load that you are supposed to carry, you will not give it to Eve in the name of Jesus. And I pray for you, Eves, that the load is weighing you down. Pray for your Adam. If you can pray for your Adam, God can turn things around and say, "Lord, I didn't choose Adam. You are the one that chose Adam for me. But my Adam is being troubled and is not being the head that he wants to be." And you know the circumstances of life. Sometimes Adam was Adam until a wind blew against Adam. Ah, winds of life. May it never blow against your family. And then the one that used to be a breadwinner, circumstances beyond his control, turns him into a bread eater. Join hands together. Fight it together. War against it together. And God will give you victory together in the name of Jesus. I told you that some of the things I will say might be a little bit difficult. But I cannot keep the truth from you. That is why I said what I just said. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman. And he brought the woman unto the man. I pray that this will be your own testimony, that my wife was brought to me by God. There are matchmakers who will bring people to you. I remember when I was growing up, we had a voodoo man by our house. And he came to me one day and said, "You will get married. You will marry a light-skinned woman." I wasn't a Christian, no. I wasn't born again. It was me and my friends that he was telling. We didn't even go for consultation. It was free consultation. He said, "You," he pointed at me, "say you." He said, "The lady you will marry will be white, like a white woman." He said, "She will be from this town. Be a light-skinned lady." So from that day, me too, I started looking for light-skinned ladies. But every lady that came was never light-skinned. So don't depend on matchmakers in the spirit realm. Don't depend on matchmakers in the natural realm. All right? Let God himself, who loves you enough to save your soul. He will by that give you everything that you need. He will bring him to you. He will bring her to you. And we will all rejoice with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So that takes me to my point number what, 9, 10. Listen to this. It is not good. Are you ready for this? And this is for the singles. I'm still with the singles. I'm sure the singles love me today. It is not good to be too awake when you are seeking for love. Go to sleep. Sleep. Turn to somebody and tell them, sleep. You wake too much. Too awake. It's funny that people who are looking for love are not relaxed. I went to Rite Aid about 2 or 3 years ago. And I was looking for shaving cream, shaving powder. And here came this lady. She's more than likely to be a Haitian because she looks like a Nigerian. And you know, Haitians look like Nigerians and Nigerians look like Haitians. So she thought I was from Haiti. And she started, what do they call that thing? Started hitting on me. How can you meet a total stranger? Total stranger. She doesn't know whether I have HIV or BIV or FIV. Look how people can be stupid. She started talking friendly. She started talking familiarly. She started asking for my phone number. You know why? She's seeking for love. I called a company that delivers packages. I won't mention their name. Go figure it out. And I talked to a lady in Texas. And after we finished, she said, "Oh, you are in New York?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Oh, I'll be coming to New York by LaGuardia on Friday." I said, "Is that right?" She said, "Can you pick me up?" Total stranger! "Can you pick me up?" I said, "I can pick you up on Sunday for church." And that gave me the opportunity to witness to her. People are looking for love. She doesn't know me from Adam. She doesn't know who I am. She has not even seen my face. How can you fall in love with somebody whose face you have not seen? Huh? Part-time lovers. Long-distance lovers. Oh, they say, there's somebody in Ouagadougou. Where's Ouagadougou? Burkina Faso. Or is it Mali? Burkina Faso. There's somebody in Ouagadougou who wants you. It's Ouagadougou, not Ouagadougou. I got it somehow. It's Ouagadougou. Somebody in Ouagadougou who is in love with you. You have not seen him. You don't know his background. And you just fall in love. Because you are looking for love. And he sent you a picture. How do you know it's the right picture he sent you? With these days where you can remove somebody's head, what do they call that thing? Photoshop. You can Photoshop anybody and look so nice. For me, I can Photoshop myself where I become white. It's a matter of removing this hair and put straight hair in it and make this nose look like the nose of a white person. And then you fall in love. I don't understand. My wife and I were watching a TV program the other day, and there were these Nigerians in Malaysia. These Nigerians in Malaysia who were hitting on women from, what is that country of kangaroo? Australia. They were hitting on women from Australia. And they were saying they were white people. And they were sending them pictures of white people. And these Australians who were falling, they were falling in love over the Atlantic Ocean. And they were sending them pictures. These Nigerians, these Nigerian boys, small boys, 20 years old, 25 years old. One lady sent $300,000. Because she's in love. Foolish love. And they drained them, they cleaned them out until the police got involved and they rounded up all these people. And I looked at them and said, "Why are these boys spoiling our name all over the world? Small boys. Small boys." And then they saw the expensive things he had in his house and they said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm a student." "Where do you get money to buy all these things?" "My mommy from Nigeria sent it to me." They took them to the slammer. I hope they stay there for a long time. But when you are looking for love and you don't have common sense with the love you are looking for. You know, when they say love is blind. But marriage is an eye-opener. Look, stay awake. Like they say in my country, shine your eyes. Like this. You are looking for a wife. Don't put on dark sunglasses. Remove sunshade. Remove the, what do they put on the eye? Contact lens. So you can see well, well who you are marrying. Or else you will marry trouble. You know, there are people who are looking for love. They come to Fresh Anointing. It's not God they came to worship. It's not the prayer we are praying that they came for. It is love they came for. So they don't sit in the front because they can't see everybody. So they sit in the back. Turn to somebody in the back and tell them, is he talking about you? Don't know what you are doing in the back. So they can have bird's eye view. They say, I like that church. They don't do offering by passing around. They do offering by walking around. So when they are walking around, they are looking. They are looking. They are running on people in front of them because they are looking around. That's how to look for a wife. And then after the service, you are going around. I used to have one of them like that in my church in Brooklyn. Looking for love. Saw a girl in the church. We had a retreat and a lady came from Minnesota. The lady was already pregnant too. And then it came to me that God spoke to me loud and clear that she's the one I will marry. I said, go and pray to that God again. I want him to talk. I didn't tell him the thing. He came back and said, I am sure. I said, go and pray again. He said, I am doubly sure she's the will of God for me. I said, you are too awake. I said, go and sleep. Because the lady you say you want to marry is pregnant. Ah. He said, that must be a mistake. I said, it's a mistake. There are men who are not when you are looking for a wife, be relaxed. Turn to somebody and tell them, please relax. Relax. If you don't relax, you will get the wrong one. You're looking for a husband, you're looking for, just relax, go to sleep. By the time you wake up, God will have made something else for you. There are men just their eyes all over the place. Only God knows how many accidents happen at red lights. Because of men who won't keep their eye on the red light. Have you ever seen men who have three girlfriends and hope to settle on one? What kind of foolishness is that? They do that in the world. It should not be in the house of God. That is confusion. Right? You have this girl in Fresh Anointing. You have that girl in Fresh Anointing. You have that other one in Fresh Anointing. In her house, you eat breakfast. In her house, you eat lunch. In her house, you eat dinner. And they all know that you are carrying all of them. And they say, I will settle for one now. You say, I'm praying. I'm testing all of you out. When did you become a tester? Relax. Just relax. That's the way I got my own wife. I relaxed. And God gave me the best wife that God has ever given to anyone. I relaxed. Seriously. I was not relaxed before. You want me to tell you my story? Yeah, I know you like gossip. I'm not going to gossip about myself. Oh, you know it already. I was not relaxed before. Then I relaxed. And God said, now I can give you a wife. So they brought the lady to Adam. And Adam looked at Eve and said, wow. This is now bone of my bone. Ah, you will not carry another person's bone. And flesh of my flesh. You will not carry another person's flesh. She shall be called woman. Because she was taken out of man. This takes me to my next point. It is not good to look at your spouse as anything else other than God's gift to you. Did you hear what I said? It is not good to look at your spouse as anything else other than God's gift to you. Whether she can cook or she cannot cook. Whether she can conceive fast or she cannot conceive fast. Whether she's educated or she's an illiterate. Whether she's from the village or she's from the city. Whatever weakness that is in her life, through your prayer, God can change her. Whatever weakness is in his life, through your prayer, God can change him. You know, it is not good to blame your failures and your misfortunes on your spouse. Don't do it. All right? Let me repeat that. It's not good to blame your failures and your misfortunes on your spouse. Even if your spouse is, let it be a discussion between you and God. Did you hear what I said? Even if you know that your spouse is your problem. Let it be a discussion between you and God. And you settle it. And God will work it out. But today is a blame game we play. I read about a TV anchor lady that interviewed a millionaire. And the millionaire was a very rich man, obviously. And she looked at him and said, "Sir, you are a millionaire, a very successful man." The man said, "Yes, I am." He said, "To whom do you owe your success as a millionaire?" The millionaire said, "I owe everything to my wife." She said, "You mean you owe everything to your wife?" I said, "Yes. By being a millionaire, I owe it to my wife." And then the anchor lady said, "Wow. She must be some woman. What were you before you married her?" The man said, "I was a billionaire." You got it? Don't blame your misfortunes. Just take it to God. God will take care of it. Let the church say amen. Let me give you two more. I got four more minutes. What number are we now? 14. It is not good to rush out looking for a new deal when your ideal becomes an ordeal. I repeat. It is not good to rush out looking for a new deal when your ideal becomes an ordeal. Do you know that God can still bring love into your relationship? Yes, your wine might have run out. But there is the Son of God who can bring new wine into your wine that has been depleted. Where there is no more love today, God can bring in more love. But do you know, all around us, people can't wait. We are now incompatible. We are this, we are that. I'm going my separate ways. And I say to myself, I knew when you fell in love, we couldn't sleep. All the church, we had to be picking up roses. I knew when you fell in love. I knew the things you promised him. I knew the things you promised her. Why don't you give peace a chance? Listen, what is it that has happened to this generation? When I look at people like Papa Kunda, people of his age, people like Sister Bisi's mother, people of her age, you ask yourself, how did people of that age make it? Their husbands were not the best. Their wives were not the best. I look at my dad, I look at my mom, I look at their own dad and their own mom, and how marriage was rough for them. Yet they stuck it out because of us. Because if they left, we would be destroyed. But today there is so much selfishness. We don't consider what will affect the children. We used to have a young boy in our church. His name is Jay. Jay was 14 years old when they joined our church. Jay was sucking his thumb at 14. And I asked his mom, I said, "Sister so-and-so, why is Jay sucking his finger?" Oh, she said, he started that when his dad left me. and he couldn't handle it. And you know what? He's grown up now. He's married now. And he's doing the same thing to his own wife. Don't go out looking for a new deal because your ideal became an ordeal. Go for counseling. If you don't want to go for counseling in the church, go for counseling outside the church. If you can't do that, declare days of fasting and praying where you and your wife will stay before God and say, God, we are going apart. We are drifting apart. We are going our different ways. God, this is not the way we planned it when we said, I do. And we know you hate new deals. No matter what spin you put on it, the book of Malachi says, I hate put it away. Period. The court may say it's right. The society may say it's right, but it is wrong. And this is what the devil likes, to destroy homes. And it's become so normal. In fact, in colleges, especially liberal colleges now, you'll be surprised what people say and their professors say to them. I had something that really, really turned my stomach. A professor said to the 22 years old in his class, in the college, he said, how can you tell a 22, 23 year old to make a 50 year commitment? No, don't make a 50 year commitment. Just tell them everything will stay married if things go well. If things don't go well, just do like Donald Trump. On the day of the wedding, sign that if we divorce, you will only get 2 million. How can you plan for failure when you are celebrating success? But that's the life and the world in which we live in. And it's become normal. If you divorce your wife or your husband in this church, it is an abnormal thing you have done. That's the truth. Why should our marriages be breaking up and breaking up and we are going our different ways and you think God is rejoicing in heaven? Do you know that God did not give Adam and Eve an exit? Adam, you are stuck with evil. Evil. You are stuck with Adam. If you don't want him, there's a kangaroo, there's a tiger, there's a chameleon, because there's no other woman. No. Turn to somebody and tell them he's telling the truth now. He's telling the truth. Tell you the truth. It's Bible. God did not give them option. Today we say, I have option now. If you know, I had a man say to his wife, if you know how many men, women are dying for me, and I tell you to cook, you don't cook. They will take me away from you before you realize it. I say, yay. You know, I read a funny story about a man who rushed to a toy store one evening to buy a Barbie doll for his daughter who had a birthday the next morning. The sales lady said, well, you have several Barbie dolls to choose from. This is the tennis Barbie. It's $20. This is the ballet Barbie. It's $20. This is the beach Barbie. It's $20. And this is the divorced Barbie. It sells for $265. And the man said, what? Why is the divorced Barbie so much more expensive? The sales lady said, well, it comes with the house of Ken, the car of Ken, and the furniture of Ken. Because when they divorced, she got the house, she got the car, she got the furniture, and all those things come with this toy. That's why it costs so much more than the other ones. Even our children, by the toys we give them, we are telling them, if you divorce, you get much more. You get a razor and remove the hair of his head and put Vaseline on it. Get everything he has. Reduce him to nothing. And God in heaven is saying, but they said I do 5 years ago. They were jubilating and they were making vows. Do vows mean nothing again? So God said to Adam, that's your wife. For better, for worse. A lady called me about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks ago and said, my husband has run away with another woman. I said, what did he say? And one of the excuses he gave is that now she's using wig. Ah. I said, say it again. Say, yeah. Honey said, because I use wig, he doesn't like me again. All the hair that I had when we married 20-something years ago, they are all gone. And he doesn't like unnatural hair. It's now wig you are wearing. Whereas it is distress that he brought upon her that removed the whole hair on her head. Are you loving me this morning or hating me? Then send for roses and send it to my house. Look at this man. But what he doesn't realize is this. You know, some people, they are blind. They don't do anything. He said the wife is wearing wig, the one that you remove and put down. But there is another wig. Eh? That one is sewed inside. Eh? The hair will be up to this place. Na lie. It's extra. Addition. So it's a wig, but it's different. They weave the wig. So women, don't use the one they put on. Weave it. And your wife, your husband will love you forever. Turn to somebody and tell them, I love this bishop. It tells the truth. Oh, God. You know, I hear people say that a major problem in marriage today is lack of communication. It's a lie. I disagree. The problem is not lack of communication. I think the problem is what we're communicating. Oftentimes we communicate anger. Oftentimes we communicate discontent. Oftentimes we communicate jealousy. Oftentimes we communicate criticism. But if we communicate forgiveness and love and acceptance, you see, then there is a solid ground to build on. A woman went to a pastor and said, I want to divorce my husband. So how do I go about doing it? And the pastor said, that's easy. So make him suffer for it. He said, for the next 3 months, before you bomb him with the divorce papers, get home and tell him every day, I love you. I care so much about you. I cannot survive without you. Until the River Niger meets River Congo, I will never leave you. And just tell him things. Make food for him. Take breakfast to him in bed. When he throws his socks away, wash the socks for him. Kill him with love. And then after 3 months, go to him and say, I hate you. This is my divorce paper. And that will really kill him and kill the marriage. The woman said, wow, you are the best pastor I've ever met. So she left. And she took it. She got home. She got home with roses. Usually it's the men that give the women roses, but she brought roses. I said, honey, I just want to give you this. When he's leaving in the morning, he will say, come, don't leave. Kiss her. Kiss him. When he wakes up in the morning, kiss him so much, he had blisters all over his lips. It was love gone wild. So the pastor told him, after 3 months and you give him the divorce paper, come to me and I will bless the divorce. 3 months passed. He didn't see her. 6 months passed. He didn't see her. 9 months passed. He didn't see her. So he called her. He said, I've been waiting for you for months. And the woman said, for what? He said, to bless the divorce. He said, you are crazy. I'm in love with him. I'm not going to divorce him. I'm not going to leave him. I love him like crazy. I have changed. He has changed. Because I changed, he changed too. Hallelujah. If you will change, he will change too. Rise up on your feet and let us pray. Oh God. I'm not even done with my sermon, but I have to stop here. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to say, Father, deliver our homes from the power of the destroyer. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, deliver our homes from the power of the destroyer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Deliver our homes, deliver our families from the power of the destroyer in the mighty name of Jesus. Every power that is out to destroy our homes, that is out to destroy our families, Father, deliver us from their power, deliver us from their control in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, deliver our homes from the power of the destroyer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Deliver our homes, save our families from the power of the destroyer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, my Father, say every home in this place today that is under stress, let them receive a miracle. Open your mouth and pray for our homes in the mighty name of Jesus. Every home that is under stress, oh Lord God, let them receive miracles in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let them receive miracles, let them receive miracles, let them receive life. Every home that is dead, let life come alive, let it come alive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do it for us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want us to pray against external forces influence. Influence of external forces. I didn't get to this, but it said the man and the woman should be alone. They should live together. They should be alone. I want you to pray that every external power, say every external force influencing our marriages, Father, move them out of the way in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray for that prayer. Every external force, every external power that is negatively influencing our marriages, Father, I pray that you will remove them. Every external force that is keeping us from living and cleaving, oh Lord God, I pray that you will remove them out of our ways in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take them out of the way, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, do it for us in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want you to pray, say, spirit of transparency. Come on, open your mouth. Say, spirit of transparency, fall upon our marriages in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that prayer. The Bible says they were both naked. They were transparent before each other. Spirit of transparency must fall upon the wife, must fall upon the husband in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, let the spirit of transparency rule and reign in our homes in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want you to pray today and say, my Father, may we never be ashamed of the one that you have given to us. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. The Bible says they were both naked, the man and the woman, and they were not ashamed of themselves. I pray this afternoon that you will never be ashamed of your wife. You will never be ashamed of your husband, whether they have money or they don't have money, whether everything is fine or everything is not fine, that you will never, ever, 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 ever look at your spouse and say, you know, I'm ashamed. I'm sorry I ever married you. In the mighty name of Jesus. May we never be ashamed of who they are in the name of Jesus. They might have grown fat. I will not be ashamed because they are now fat. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, help us in
Jesus' name we pray. Finally, I want to say, my Father, say for every single man, for every single woman inside this church this morning, make a way for them before this year is over to get married. Open your mouth and pray for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, make a way for every single man, every single woman inside this church this morning, in fresh anointing this morning, that Lord, you will bring to them the man after your own heart, the woman after your own heart, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, let's pray for our men. Say, Father, we pray for our men. Make them the head and not the tail in their homes in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that prayer for them. Father, we pray for the men. We pray for the men. We pray for the men. They will not be men who are bread eaters and not breadwinners. Whatever is militating against them and fighting against them, we pray that you will move it out of the way for them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. I pray now that prayer that we have not prayed. After Adam and Eve got married, there was no barrenness between them. They had children upon children. I pray for those in this sanctuary this morning that by the time the next Valentine's Day comes around, they will be carrying their own children in the name of Jesus. Whatever has been a blockage and a barrier, I pray that you will move it out of their way in Jesus' name. Let your blessing be upon your people. More than I have been able to teach this morning, may your Holy Spirit go home with us and teach us better than man can teach. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, put your hands together and give a lot of...